taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
It is a melancholy truth that a suppression of the press could not more completely deprive the nation of its benefits than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood. Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. And I want to know, do you know who that quote is from? Who said that? Take a guess. I'll give you a moment to think about it. But who said it is a melancholy truth that a suppression of the press could not more completely deprive the nation of its benefit than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood? Now, if you thought it was somebody new, if you thought maybe this is a Trump tweet, well, I'm sorry, this isn't Trumpian language, but no, this isn't a Trump tweet. This isn't Ted Cruz or some other Republican bastion of Republicanism. This wasn't even said in this century. It wasn't even said in the last century. This quote comes from a letter Thomas Jefferson sent to John Norville back in 1807. See, issues with the press and suppression of information, the prostitution to falsehood, as Jefferson put it, is nothing new. So I want to take some time today and I want to look at this prostitution to falsehood. I want to see, first of all, let's see if we can find examples. What is going on? And then let's discuss what we can do about it. Because the letter that John Norville sent to Thomas Jefferson, that Jefferson was responding to, he was asking the question, what should someone do that wanted to start a newspaper? So let's take a look. I found this interesting article. It was in The Federalist, and it was discussed how the corporate media launders opinions, and how they do so to attack inconvenient people and inconvenient facts. Now, this article starts out, a New York Times business correspondent in Hong Kong, a weekend editor at The Guardian who lives in New York, a British business insider reporter with a focus on the Saudis, and the executive editor of The Daily Beast, a 48-year-old blogger who works for Rachel Maddow, a union activist who covers extreme far-right politics and media disinformation for The Huffington Post, and the 29-year editor of the Arkansas Times, a breaking news reporter at the Washington Post who wrapped up her most recent internship in May 2016, a 2016 University of Pennsylvania graduate who covers young people doing big things for Forbes, a 45-year-old former George Will intern who writes for CNN, and David Frum. What do these people have in common, aside from their political ideology? Every one of them is part of a machine that launders smears and opinions through newspapers, magazines, and television channels, presents the cleaned-up product as an unimpeachable truth to the public, and then uses the fresh-minted facts to protect friends and hurt enemies. It's called the news, and here's how it worked for Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton's completely plausible theory that COVID-19 came from a Chinese lab. And then the article goes on to describe how that information is massaged, manipulated, laundered for public consumption. In fact, the article details, it says, quote, that Hong Kong business correspondent, she wrote this headline for the Times in February 2020, quote, Senator Tom Cotton repeats fringe theory on coronavirus origins. Scientists, the slug reads, have dismissed suggestions that the Chinese government was behind the outbreak, but it's kind of a tale that gains traction among those who see China as a threat. Republican floated virus conspiracy says, common sense has been my guide, the weekend editor at The Guardian dismissively explained. A GOP senator, our award-winning Saudi investigator declared, keeps pushing a thoroughly debunked theory that the Wuhan coronavirus is a leaked Chinese biological weapon gone wrong. Senator Tom Cotton flogs coronavirus conspiracy theory dismissed by actual scientists, the editor of The Daily Beast howled. Tom Cotton's veiled threats really aren't helping, Maddow's blogger chimed in. Don't listen to Senator Tom Cotton about coronavirus, our media disinformation boy piped up. Tom Cotton and the virus conspiracy theory, the 3 decades veteran of an Arkansas weekly blogged, citing a Vanity Fair write-up that maintained far more nuance than grizzled writer. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, repeated a fringe theory the Young Post staffer confidently led, suggesting that the ongoing spread of a coronavirus is connected to research in the disease-ravaged epicenter of Wuhan, China. That, quote, theory, her headline definitively states, was already debunked. Senator Tom Cotton ramps up anti-China rhetoric, Forbes under 30 community lead righteously wrote. Tom Cotton, CNN's Chris Cillizza, authority declared, is playing a dangerous game with his coronavirus speculation. Did you get all that? Since all of these quote-unquote news sources put the spin that this could not possibly be correct, that Tom Cotton couldn't possibly be right, it isn't possible that this came out of a lab in Wuhan, China. Now, when most of this blathering came out, we didn't know a lot about the origins of the virus. There was some evidence that it came out of Wuhan and that it's possible it came out of the lab. Certainly not the definitive debunking listed here. But now, as more and more evidence comes out that it did actually escape from the lab in China, or at least there's a good possibility of that, what happened to all these fact checkers? Well, let's start with the term fact checker. Now, if you were to look at that word, you'd assume that the purpose of a fact checker is to check the facts. These are people that apparently we're supposed to put our trust in, that when they check the facts, they're actually checking the facts and not manipulating the fact check to get an outcome that they want. For example, the media dismissed early reports, early theories that the COVID-19 virus, coronavirus, came from a lab in Wuhan, China. Now, what I find interesting is the fact checkers for many of these claimed that it was not true, it was a conspiracy theory, it had been debunked. Yet I didn't see them provide any facts to support it. Isn't it interesting how fact checkers so rarely seem to provide facts? We shouldn't really call them fact checkers. I'm sure there are fact checkers. In fact, I hope my audience is full of fact checkers. I want you to check my facts. Because if I've got something wrong, I want to correct it. But you see, it seems that's a fairly rare attitude in anything revolving around media today. See, too often, fact checkers are more, well, they're more like the censors you would have, either during a war or possibly in a totalitarian regime where you didn't want inconvenient facts getting out. You wanted to make sure that only the facts that were approved by the state, by the organization, by the political party, only those were allowed. So when then President Trump said that there was high confidence that the novel COVID virus, you know, the one that causes COVID-19, that there was high confidence that it had come from a lab in Wuhan, China, the quote-unquote fact checkers, who in many cases did not like President Trump, succumbed to their own confirmation bias, who were more than willing to find President Trump wrong. even to the point of looking, saying, well, you know, the director of national intelligence says, listen, there's not proof. We need more investigation. Therefore, President Trump is wrong when he says there's high confidence. Those are not contradictory statements. The fact that he has high confidence in the intelligence is telling him that this came from Wuhan, a lab in Wuhan, doesn't mean we don't need more investigation to prove it or to disprove it. But since so many Americans vet their facts by fact checkers, if they prostitute themselves to falsehood, how do you know what's true anymore? And if you don't know what is true, how do you judge anything? How do you vet a candidate for office if you can't trust that what you've been told about that person is true or not? See, if truth is fluid, as people have been saying for years, then truth doesn't exist. And if fact checkers are doing more than checking facts, if they are acting as filters and right thinkers for the American people, then we are not free. And if you make your decisions based on the opinions of others, you are not an independent citizen. You are subject, you are manipulated by others. Most important question: who fact checks the fact checkers? It's supposed to be us. In fact, we're not supposed to need fact checkers. We should be doing it ourselves. But let's take a look. Let's use the example of Facebook. Now, Facebook claims they are working hard to stop viral misinformation. Sounds good, right? We don't want misinformation out there. It sounds like we should be cheering them on. But who defines what is and isn't misinformation? Now, Facebook has an oversight board. That oversight board consists of 20 members that are supposed to oversee things like the fact checkers and the algorithm and accounts that are suspended or deleted. And they're supposed to be an independent board overseeing that operation. However, an analysis by a journalist, Cheryl Atkinson, found that 18 of those 20 board members have direct ties to the Open Society Foundation, a George Soros group. A group that has spent billions, with a B, billions of dollars, advocating, they're called progressive ideas. Progressive ideas on immigration policies, open borders, climate change, abortion, gender and racial policies. In other words, what we would call leftist, socialist, Marxist agenda. Let's see, 18 out of 20. Now, I did go to public school, but I can do some basic math. That means that 90% of the people supposedly overseeing what goes on at Facebook have some connection to a Marxist, socialist, non-freedom, non-constitution-based group. A group with billions of dollars to spend and more than willing to spend them. So if you come to Facebook with a constitutional-based program, you know, let's call it the Constitution Study, and you come and you're writing stories, looking at news, and doing constitutional analysis, what the Constitution actually says about this, that, and the other. And let's say, oh, it's getting to be about time for a presidential election. So you're doing articles, and you're looking at, you're explaining to people how the presidential election actually works according to the Constitution. You're looking at things like the federal laws that have been enacted to make the presidential election process function according to the Constitution, for the most part. You're looking at things like how certain states may be violating the Constitution and how they are appointing their presidential electors. And then for some strange reason, one morning you wake up and find out, your account's been suspended. You're not allowed to do that. And you ask, well, why? What have I done to warrant a suspension? And you're given some vague, well, you violated a community standard. I go, really? Which one? When did I do it? And you get crickets. Now, I don't know if Facebook simply decided they looked at it and said they did not want election information. They didn't care if it was legally accurate. They didn't care if it was constitutionally accurate. They didn't want anybody talking bad about their preferred candidates. They basically said so. So I get suspended. A month later, my account's disabled. In fact, it got so bad when I tried to create another account simply so I could inform my former viewers that I was no longer on Facebook. I cannot even create an account on Facebook. Regardless of what email I use, as soon as I go to create it and it says, we're going to send you an email to confirm your account, my account's disabled before I even get the link. Now, legally, Facebook has every right to do that. But if they made that decision based on what some fact checker told them, because some fact checker disagreed with the facts I put forth, even though my quotes were footnoted, they were linked, you could go and, you know, when I quoted something, I gave you a link to where I got that quote from to prove that I was quoting things properly. But I'm still, there are many people who claim I'm wrong, even though I'm quoting directly. And if those happen to be fact checkers that are overseen by a board that is 90% against, 90% of that board is involved with groups against the Constitution, contrary to the Constitution. What chance do I have? But is the problem the fact checkers? Or is the problem the fact that people listen to the fact checkers? See, I believe in freedom of speech. I believe people have the right to get on the same platform and say, Mr. Engel, I think you're wrong. Absolutely. Bring your information. Bring quotes. Bring evidence. Bring proof. Bring facts. Be my guest. I want that open information. I want that open debate. Sadly, there are many fact checkers that aren't interested in an open debate. They aren't interested in presenting facts or even allowing facts to be presented. They have prostituted themselves to a political falsehood. Some do it by party. Some do it by political movement. But they are so wedded to their falsehood that even facts cannot change their mind. For example, a Dr. Tracy Hoag, I believe that's how it's pronounced, placed a post on Facebook noting that in April, 19 infant deaths were attributed to COVID-19. A number, by the way, she noted was rapidly declining. So she's stating facts. I believe facts she received from the CDC. She went to the CDC and the American Association of Physicians. She cited them directly. She quoted them directly. And how did Facebook treat it? It was blocked by Facebook for violating community standards on spam. Now, I find it ironic that the CDC and the American Association of Physicians, data from those two sites is considered spam by Facebook. Because there's a lot that comes out of the CDC that I don't think is worth lining a birdcage with. But here you have a person simply quoting the CDC. We're all told to bow to the science, bow to Fauci, bow to the CDC. She's quoting the CDC, and her post gets described as spam. Because some fact checker looked at that and said, ah, that's got to be spam. Now imagine, if you will, a nation of roughly 330 million people. And how many of those 330 million people are getting information from Facebook? Or they get most of their information. Nobody gets all of their information. But let's say they get a large from Facebook, Twitter, a large percentage of their information they get either from corporate media or social media. I think it's called a lie of omission, isn't it? When information is denied to the people because those in power find it inconvenient. But when the people trust for their information, be it what the media is presenting or what the fact checkers are filtering, or in some cases simply manipulating, when that is the main source of income, the people are ignorant. They don't know. See, it's not that the people are stupid. It's not, to me, stupidity is ignorance combined with hubris. And there's plenty of that out there. That's not my point. But the point Jefferson was making is when the sources of information, when the media have, as he said, prostituted themselves to falsehood. They have abandoned themselves to falsehood. That's just as effective, in fact, probably more effective than if the state actually suppressed the truth. See, if we had a state ministry of truth that censored information, people would know it was being censored. People in the Soviet Union knew they were being lied to. I imagine people in China know they're being lied to. People in Iran know they're being lied to. People in North Korea know they're being lied to some extent. But rather than having the media suppressed, rather than having government agents shutting down newspapers and radio stations and TV programs and blogs and podcasts, we simply set up a system where the filter is the media itself. Where rather than suppressing it, we're just going to filter it through algorithms and through fact checkers. Entities that have abandoned themselves to falsehood. That is just as defeating, if not more, than if we had an active state suppression of the media, of the truth. The fact that the press is free to lie to us means it's our responsibility to find out the truth. So I believe Jefferson was correct. It is a melancholy truth that the suppression of the press could no more completely deprive the nation of its benefit than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood. The question I want to answer after the break is, what can we the people do about it? But before we do that, are you feeling tired? As long as I've known her, my wife has had problems getting to sleep and staying to sleep. And it's rough, you know. She has to take naps during the day. She's lethargic. It's a difficult thing to deal with. But recently we tried this new thing from Healthy Cell called the REM Sleep Package. It's a packet that she takes before she goes to bed. It's a little gel packet. It's real easy, no pills. She takes that before she goes to sleep at night. And she found that she falls asleep. She falls asleep faster. She stays asleep. And in fact, now she doesn't even need to take naps anymore. So if you're having problems sleeping, if you are like me, if you travel and you sometimes find it difficult to fall asleep in a hotel room or in a strange location, try Healthy Cell REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com/outloud because all America Out Loud listeners get a 20% discount. Give this a try. I know it's worked for my wife. I know it's worked for me. I believe it'll work for you. So give Healthy Cell REM Sleep a try. Again, that's healthycell.com/outloud for your 20% America Out Loud discount. And stay right here. We'll rejoin the Constitution Study right after this break.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study, and we're looking at what Jefferson referred to as the prostitution to falsehood. Now, I started this program off with a Jefferson quote in a letter he sent to John Norville. I want to bring you another quote because it's just as apropos. He said, quote, "Nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle. The real extent of the state of misinformation is known only by those who are in situations to confront facts with their knowledge and the lies of the day. I really look with commiseration over the great body of my fellow citizen who, reading newspapers, live and die in the belief that they have known something of what has been passed in the world in their time." I think that well describes America today, doesn't it? Can you believe anything which is seen in a newspaper, heard on the television, read in a blog, heard on a podcast? There are very few places, there are very few sources that I give even a modicum of trust. But as I've said here multiple times, if the news media tells me the sky is blue, I'm going out to double check. The very fact of putting something in the newspaper, in any news media, to me, makes it suspicious, which is exactly what Jefferson is talking about. This problem, this issue of having to double-check the news is nothing new. Jefferson wrote this letter to John Norville in 1807. But the worst part, what Jefferson said, he looked down with true consideration. The great body of our fellow citizens who, reading the newspaper, watching the news, listening to news to the radio, checking Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, blogs, and think they know something, think they've been shown something of what has passed in the world recently, yet know absolutely nothing. You know, yesterday I did my episode on red pilling and doublespeak, this idea that until we recognize that something is wrong and we are willing to look for the absolute facts, not what someone tells us they say, not what someone tells us happened, to find for ourselves the absolute facts, we live in a alternate reality. Not quite a virtual reality like the Matrix, but we live in a reality that is manipulated by others. Not simply by what lies they tell us, but by what information they hide from us. And this is the deceit of fact checkers. Now again, I'm sure there are people out there that are doing their best to actually check facts. And it's sad that they get painted with the brush of the title fact checker. See, to me, the title fact checker is rather like the newspaper in the Soviet Union named Pravda. See, now, Pravda is Russian for truth. So you have a newspaper claiming to be the truth, which everybody, including the citizens of the Soviet Union, knew was lying to them. So today, when someone claims that information is wrong because a fact checker said so, well, you should know, you should not, don't trust it. Let's just put it that. Just let's simply not trust it. Unless the fact checker in question has a proven history of being factually correct. Well, how do you know when they're factually correct? Well, you can't just sit there on your backside and expect it to happen. You have to look. I forget who it was when he won a lawsuit against a newspaper, asked the judge, now, where do I go to get my reputation back? Because the media loves to focus on the misinformation, and then when they're found out to be wrong, they bury that information, either later in the paper, later in the news. They do everything they can to hide the fact that they got something wrong. Now, part of that, I believe, is natural human nature. We don't like to be wrong. We don't like to admit when we're wrong. So we're more than happy to play down the fact that we're wrong. But when we have evidence today, growing evidence, that the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19, more and more evidence that it came out of a lab in Wuhan, China. How many of you are going back to the fact checkers that said, no, that's a conspiracy theory? How many? Because if you're not, well, then you've submitted to the media's prostitution to falsehood. I know, we don't like it. We don't like the way that sounds. We don't like the way it feels. But as the Federalist author, Christopher Bedford noted, if you read the Hong Kong correspondent, the editor at The Guardian, the British Business Insider reporter, the people who were telling you, the blogger for Rachel Maddow, the Huffington Post, the Washington Post. If you were reading these when they said, oh, no, Tom Cotton's theory that the coronavirus could have originated in a lab in Wuhan is a conspiracy theory, has been debunked, has been dismissed by scientists. When you find out that they were wrong, do you still listen to them? Do you still look to the Daily Beast for news? Do you? Do you trust the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS? Do you trust any of these sites? Because I'm sure I can find times when they lied to you. Now, they may have changed things later. In some cases, they may have issued a retraction, generally in fairly small type, buried somewhere. But if they're not willing to own up to their mistake just as loudly as they made the mistake, they're not trustworthy. But the reason these people have such power is not their fault, it's ours, because we listen to them. Now, it's very interesting. I found this article. Now, this actually came from Newsbusters. But Children's Health Defense is suing a Facebook censorship. Now, this is not new. And this is actually, to me, is a very important point. But according to the article on Newsbusters, Representative Adam Schiff sent letters to Facebook and Google regarding vaccine misinformation. Now, if you have a little bit of brain cells, if we have a rational populace, the first question you must ask is, misinformation based on what? Now, true misinformation is information that is contrary to facts, actual facts, real facts, testable facts, provable facts, not simply what some representative in Congress says, not simply what some media pundit says. But here's what I find interesting about this case. There's two things, actually. One is, more often than not, when I'm reviewing a First Amendment case such as this, it's not actually a violation of the First Amendment. It's almost always a violation of a state constitution, not the First Amendment to the United States, because that the First Amendment starts out with, Congress shall make no law. But here, we have a member of Congress sending letters to Facebook and Google. What, to help them decide what is and isn't misinformation? See, then we find out that the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, quote, collaborated at length with Facebook to suppress vaccine safety speech with a warning label and other notices that appear to flag disinformation. But in reality, censor valid and truthful speech, including speech critical of those agencies and their policies. Does that sound like abandoned prostitution to falsehood? So the CDC and WHO are now working with Facebook to suppress information they don't like. Anything that questions their information, their view on things. Even if the information that's being censored is valid and truthful, or even especially if it's critical of either of those agencies. Let me give you an example. Now, the CDC has what they call their Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. And these are self-reports of adverse reactions to vaccines. Now, if I look at the COVID report, which is available, you can find it at openvaers.com. At least that's where I found this. I'm sure there's more. There have been a little over almost 250,000 reports of adverse reactions to COVID as of May 14th. At least that's when I'm looking at the report here. And what do we see in this? Well, we've seen 12,625 hospitalizations. Here's the one that gets me. There have been 4,201 deaths reported, self-reported, in reaction to the COVID vaccine. 4,200. Now, I'm not a medical expert, but it seems to me that previous vaccines have been pulled with death rates more like 50. Not 50,000, 50. Yet we have 4,200 deaths that are attributed to this COVID vaccine. We've had almost 1,400 heart attacks, 328 miscarriages. We've had almost 30,000 people that needed urgent care. Yet people look at me strange and I say, you know what? I'm not prepared to take an experimental vaccine for a disease I have a 99% chance of surviving. Now, here's my first question. Have you heard this on the news? Because if the news you are getting isn't telling you that, you know what, there are, in general, the COVID vaccine appears to be safe. I mean, if we remain in context, 4,000 deaths with 100, and I think was they're up around 110, 120 million vaccines completely given. It's still pretty safe. But why are they hiding that number? Why, when a doctor or an organization for children's health makes a note of, when a doctor makes a note that infant, deaths from COVID are declining, they're low and they're getting lower, why is that considered spam? Could it be that it's information that Mr. Schiff thinks is wrong and therefore misinformation? Could the facts, the data, be inconvenient for Mr. Schiff and therefore labeled as misinformation to be blocked by Facebook and Twitter? Could it be the CDC and the WHO don't want this information out, so they simply label it as misinformation and the media does their dirty work? Now, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, they simply have to not report about this. However, social media platforms like Facebook and Google, they have to suppress it. In other words, they have to not let you tell other people about factually accurate information because it's not within their worldview. Or is it not within the worldview of Mr. Schiff? See, that's issue number one. But here's the other interesting thing. You see, because Adam Schiff, apparently the case is based on the fact that a member of Congress is applying pressure to these organizations to suppress their speech. They're suing under the First Amendment. See, but because we have the Communications Decency Act in Section 230, which removes people's right to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Wait a second, Paul. I thought Section 230 had to do with suing these companies for deleting your posts. Exactly. When a private entity has done something that aggrieves you, like, oh, violate their terms of service, violate a license, violate a contract, violate an agreement, the most common way to get a redress for that grievance is to petition the court. We call it suing somebody or suing someone. What we're doing when we sue is we're petitioning the government for a redress of our grievance, and Congress has protected these organizations from that. The Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act denies you that right. So now you not only have these organizations prostituting falsehood, you have the government protecting them. See, the Declaration of Independence said one of the reasons, one of the grievances was that military personnel, British military, were protected from the consequences of murders by kangaroo courts. Paraphrasing. The courts were biased. Well, here we don't even get that far. Congress is doing it for us. Congress is shielding these high-tech companies as long as they toe the line that leftist, Marxist, totalitarians want them to. I would love to see what happens with this case, because you have a member of Congress interfering with the freedom of speech of a citizen in the United States or an organization of the United States. But what I want to see is I want to see Section 230 have to be rewritten so that you cannot sue some. I want some protections. I agree. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube should not be sued if they take down something that is illegal. If you put up a post advertising, I don't know, murder for hire. Or if you, you know, as what started a lot of this, which was some young man who committed suicide live on Facebook. I have no problem with that. But when Congress wrote Section 230, they simply said, listen, anything that you think is offensive, you can take it down, and nobody has the chance to challenge you. You can violate your licenses. You can violate your contracts. You can violate the rule of law as long as you can claim under 230 that, well, you thought somebody might be offended. That's why I find this interesting. If you both have a legitimate First Amendment issue and you see the problems with Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. So I'm hoping, again, I haven't followed the case. I don't have the docket, so I don't have all the details of the complaint, but I want to find it at some point as it moves to the courts, because to me that is a very interesting case. And now for my last article of the day, another Newsbusters article, this time dealing with the old gray lady, or as I like to refer to her, the New York Times, as the paper not worth using as birdcage liner. They posted an article titled, Texas GOP Pushes to Join Florida in Limiting Ballot Access. Now, what I find most interesting is, well, let's actually quote from the reporters, a Nick Corisanti and Reed Epstein. Quote, hours after Florida installed a rash of new voting restrictions, the Republican-led legislature in Texas pressed ahead on Thursday with its own far-reaching bill that would make it one of the most difficult states in the nation in which to cast a ballot. The Texas bill would, among other restrictions, greatly empower partisan poll watchers, prohibit election officials from mailing out absentee ballot applications, and impose strict punishments for those who provide assistance outside the lines of what is permissible. Okay. I've actually read some of these laws. These are not so much voting restrictions as cheating restrictions, which apparently bothers the New York Times. See, what they're talking about is empowering partisan poll watchers. Yes, the idea is that poll watchers can challenge if they see what they believe to be malfeasance. By the way, that's poll watchers from any party. They kind of make it seem like it's only the Republicans, but guess what? Democrats can do it as well. So if you're a candidate and you have a poll watcher and they see some shenanigans like, oh, I don't know, taking ballots behind closed door, closing off windows, not allowing the poll watchers to see what's going on, they can actually say something about it. Oh, my word. See, to that, to the New York Times, to Mr. Castani and Epstein, this is an infringement. But what is an infringement is on the ability to cheat. But apparently, since it was done by Republicans, the paper seems to think it's not in their favor. They go on later that says the new measure the legislatures are putting in place represents the apex of the current Republican effort to roll back access to voting across the country following the loss of the White House amid historic turnout in the 2020 election. Do you mean the same place where they're finding issues in Arizona, issues in Georgia, issues in, I think it was Wisconsin, where reports, even before the election, showed that there are problems with absentee ballots much more than any other? So they say, rather than simply mailing out ballots to absolutely everyone, how about you ask for one first? Later in the article, quote, together the Republican actions reflect how deeply the party has embraced the so-called big lie espoused by Mr. Trump through his claims that the 2020 election was stolen. Well, again, we're seeing election problems in Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, I believe in Pennsylvania as well. By the way, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan, all illegally appointed presidential electors. Now, I've covered this before. But if those four states, since they illegally appointed electors, if those electors were not counted, Biden would still have won. But then we look at the problems we're seeing in, again, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin. It doesn't seem like it's so much of a big lie. It seems more like an inconvenient possibility that the New York Times doesn't want to hear. Because they've given up even the pretense of objectivity. The pretense of following the rule. They have so abandoned themselves to the prostitution of falsehood that simply the fact that they say it in their paper makes me question whether or not it's true. So what can we do about it? Well, thank your lucky stars. Thank God we live in the information age. We are not limited to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC. The places of information are numerous. So let me tell you what I do. Now, since I come to you every day with news articles that I think are important, somewhat constitutional, and have something to do with our nation, our rights, and our liberties, how do I come up with that information? And how do I try to avoid the biases that are pretty much in every newsfeed? Well, the answer is, I get information from as many places as possible. I have over a dozen podcasts I listen to each and every day. Now, okay, I don't necessarily get to all dozen every day, but some of them are short, some of them are longer, but what I'm doing is I'm listening to people with different points of view. I'm getting information from different sources. Every night, I sit with an app on my iPad. I have news feeds. If you're not familiar with RSS news feeds, these things are wonderful. And by the way, if any of your websites that you like are based on WordPress, you can find the feed for them. And they come into this one app, and they all get together, and I look at them. And I'm taking things. I'm getting information from the New York Times and CNN and Fox News and the Patriot Post and the Federalist and the Daily News and all of these different locations. And I'm pulling in all this information, and I do two things. First, that night, I look through, and if I find anything that I believe is interesting, I flag it. So I kind of do a first-level triage. I flag it. Then later, I go back, and I read the article. And the first thing I'm checking is, does the article match the headline? Because frequently, I don't know who wrote the headline, but it has nothing to do with what the article actually says. So if that's the case, usually I throw it away. Unless there's something really, really, really interesting in the article. If they can't get the title in the article right, I don't trust them. The next thing I do is, okay, if it's still there, I look and say, can I verify the facts of the article? And only when I can verify the facts of the article do I actually bother getting involved, deeply involved in what is going on. So what I've done is take responsibility for my own news. And that's what I believe the American people need to do. We need to be independent again. Let's stop being dependent on others to tell us what's going on. The information is readily available. It is all out there. All you have to do is look for it. Now, I'll tell you right here, I get information from America Out Loud. Why? Well, I'm on their network. I must trust them enough to be on their network. So why don't you go to AmericaOutloud.com, make it your daily stop for news and happenings. Make it part of your feed. Why? So we get information so we can learn how to share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos that are so important to maintaining our rights and liberties as free people. Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with everything that's on there, but get information from different point of views. Check your facts for yourself. Don't trust others to do that. And learn to live as a free person, not as a subject to someone else's whims. And please join me here next time on the Constitution Study.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.